This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So I think we have all experienced a time when we saw something so beautiful or so unique, so different. We were all by ourselves, and we wished that we could run and get somebody and say, look, come and see. Maybe some spectacular thing in nature, something like that moon last night. I don't know how many of you saw it, but I'll bet you a zillion people in this part of the world ran outside and said, come and see this moon. You got to see this moon. Come and see. Another example of this is when I was working up in D.C., right before I moved down here in October of 2011, in August of that year, there was an earthquake in D.C., in that whole area, and it was really a big earthquake. It was 5.8 on the Richter scale, and I was working at the National Cathedral, and that structure and the Washington Monument were the worst hit, and the engineers explained that the earthquake energy spirals up to the highest point, and that's why those two structures sustained the greatest damage, over $25 million at the cathedral alone, and they're still repairing it. So we were getting into the norm of not being able to use the great nave. We had to use other places to worship. One was a Jewish synagogue, which was fabulous. And we were in the worship department, which wasn't far from the nave, and in that department was also the music department. And so a good friend, Scott Detra, was one of our organists, and he had gone down to the nave with his hard hat, we couldn't go in without a hard hat, to practice the organ. So he's down there practicing, and we were up working in the building, and all of a sudden he calls his wife, who also worked in the department, and he said, Haley, the crane fell. So they had brought in this big crane to work on the spire because one of the spires had actually moved off of the pedestal and it was precariously staying there, but it could have easily fallen. So they had to have this big crane to take it down. And that crane fell down. And do you know there's crane insurance? I never knew there was such a thing for accidents that happen with cranes. But this, nobody, if you weren't there, you wouldn't have believed such a thing could happen. So he calls, you got to come and see. Come and see, this crane fell. Thank God nobody was seriously hurt. Thank God. But if you saw it, you wouldn't have been able to explain it quite the same way as you experienced it. As you experienced it. Yesterday, I was getting my hair cut. My hairdresser was telling me about a time when he was surfing. And he's a really good surfer. He's been surfing for decades, and he was on the front part of the surfboard. He's a very good surfer, if he can do that. And he said the water that day was crystal clear. He said you could see to the bottom of the floor of the ocean, and it was as if there was no water. And he said he felt like he was flying, like a pelican along the water. And he said he wishes that he could convey that to somebody. The feeling that he had in that moment. He wished that he could say, come and see. Now, sometimes we go to see something not because it's so fantastic or because it's so beautiful or because somebody has asked us to come and see, but because something draws us. We can't explain it. We just are drawn to that place. And in Episcopal 101, our classes that we do pretty regularly, we go around the room and we ask people their names and their faith background and how they came to St. Joseph's and maybe what brought them to the class. And time again, people will say, I don't know, something just told me to come. Something just drew me there. I was going down Seacrest and I saw your sign and I just turned in. One woman said that she was heading east on Woolbright Road, stopped at the intersection there at Seacrest and Woolbright, heading east, and she saw the sign that said, "The Episcopal Church welcomes you." She'd pretty much given up on church, but something made her turn. And she stayed ever since. She stayed ever since. Andrew was compelled that same way to follow Jesus. Andrew and another disciple, our text tells us, were disciples of John the Baptist. They had been following him, and John the Baptist went around and taught people and baptized and told them to turn their lives around. That's what repent means, as we've talked before. Turn your lives around. And he would baptize them. And then everything changed when he baptized Jesus. Father Marty talked about this a little bit last week, if you were here. But these two that had been following John the Baptist on this day, Jesus says, "Look, there he goes." I mean, John said, "Look, there he goes. It's the Lamb of God. It's the Messiah." And Andrew and this other disciple started following right away. John the Baptist was always pointing to them, pointing for them to go, and points for us to follow, and they did. And it was so amazing that Andrew had to run to his brother, Simon, and say, come and see what we found. And he brought Simon, and Simon was transformed. Jesus renamed him. His identity was so transformed, and he would always be called Peter from then on and be a great leader in the church. Now, what was odd is that John kept saying, "I didn't know him. I don't know him." But we know from Scripture that they were cousins. We know that John the Baptist's mom, Elizabeth, when she was pregnant, Mary came and visited her when she was pregnant. And the story is that John leapt in the womb of Elizabeth when Mary walked in pregnant with Jesus. And so over the years, that story has been that somehow John recognized Jesus even in utero. Even in utero. So it's odd that John would say, "I didn't know him. I didn't know him." Twice in today's gospel, he says that. What he didn't know and what changed with the baptism is that finally he recognized that this was the Messiah. Because he had been told that the one you see when the dove comes and the Holy Spirit and the voice from the cloud says, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased," that will be the one. And that's what happened. And they were never, ever the same. They had seen Christ, really seen Christ, and they had to be with him. They had to stay with him, remain with him. And so when they were following him, the question that Jesus asked them when he saw them following is, he says, "What are you looking for?" He wanted them to search their own souls, and he asks us the same question. What are you looking for when you are pulled to go here or to go anywhere? What are you looking for? It's a really poignant question for all of us to ask ourselves all the time. And then in prayer, to try and be led in that way. Today, frequently, people in trying to find Jesus, trying to figure out Jesus, will try to mold Jesus into their own way of being, into their own lives. And I've got a slide I want to show you. I was coming out of a neighborhood, and this is what I saw. It's kind of distorted. I didn't have time to resize it, but it's in front of a statuary place that was selling statues, and they have Jesus strapped down. Do you see that? They have him strapped to the pole. And it's like somebody was going to come and steal this big concrete Jesus or something. So I thought that it was really very exemplary of how we try to strap Jesus down in our lives. You know? How we try to get Jesus to be, "Okay, well, I don't have to quite do that, do I, Christ? I don't really have to be that kind to that person, do I?" And we try to fit Jesus into our mold. And this gospel is about following Christ's way. On Monday, we'll celebrate Martin Luther King's Day, and we honor a man who really did follow Christ and the teachings of Christ. Would that we could do a tenth of what he did. And it can be intimidating if we try to think, well, we have to be like a Martin Luther King or a Gandhi or a Mother Teresa. It can be very intimidating. And what the gospel is telling us today, and John the Baptist is telling us, is just look to Christ. Just look to the way he was and try to do it in your own life, in Christ's way, and in the teachings that we're going to hear for the next several weeks. And if that's intimidating, maybe this story will help. There's an author and a teacher by the name of Ralph Milton, and he's married to a woman by the name of Bev, and she's a pastor in a church, and they're retired now, but before they retired, they went to visit this church that Bev had been the pastor in for years and years and years. And they got there, and the woman introducing them was named Hazel. And Bev couldn't believe it. She was astonished that this woman, Hazel, would be the one introducing them and feeling so comfortable in front of a crowd, because Hazel had been one that had been abused, both psychologically and physically. She had struggled with addiction. She was very, very fragile and very timid all the time. And Bev had spent a great deal of time with her, helping her and encouraging her. And she, while she would come to church, she was just this scared, timid person. And here she was, up in front of everybody, introducing them. So later, Bev asked one of the longtime members, what happened to her? What happened? And they said, well, we just continued what you started. We just included her. We kept offering her a cup of coffee. We kept being with her. We remained with her. And we kept loving her and loving her and encouraging her until she began to feel lovable. This come and see thing happens in community. That's what Christ is all about. It's about our relationships with one another. And we hold each other up in our struggles and in our joys and in our celebrations. If it's not in community, if it's not in relationship, it's not about Christianity. Sure, we spend time within ourselves, yes, in prayer and contemplation with our own understanding of our God and relying on that power greater than ourselves. But if we're not doing it in relationship and in the difficult relationships, it's really not the ultimate that we can be and, and grow and change. So this come and see is possibly why you're here today. Something drew you here. Nobody knows what you're going through in your own life, in your own inner hearts, and we all have stuff that we're going through. We're drawn here in joy and in celebration. And I would challenge you and encourage you that as you leave today, pick up one of the cards that are on the back table and invite somebody else to come. To come and see. And to celebrate in community the joy of Christ. The circle just keeps widening. Amen.